You may have noticed that my family is much smaller today. It's just me. I dropped them off in Alabama on my way back in. We have a new niece and cousin who we had never seen before. She's 5 or 6 months old. And they were from South Carolina, and we intersected in Birmingham. So it was a good time to drop the family off, and then I'll be going back to get them tonight. So that's where they are. And I'm really not looking forward to getting back in the car, but that's just the way it is. And you can imagine, after so much time in the car and when you've got small kids in the back seat and what's going on, and it's a lot of fun. And this, there's an interchange, a conversation that went on that to me kind of capitalizes and emphasizes exactly what was occurring. Levi at one point in the back seat, and of course I can't see what's going on. Levi says, "Daddy, Leah's being mean to me." And I said, "Leah, why are you being mean to Levi?" And her answer was, "I'm not being mean. I'm just using my imagination." And the answer was so brilliant that I didn't care what she did. I thought, wow, that was genius. So I have no idea how she was being mean. We laughed and it kind of died with that. Because, you know, we're always telling the kids, they say, "I'm bored. What do I do?" Use your imagination. So she was. But they'll be back, and they miss you, and they are very ready to come home. It was a windy day in 1954. Photographer for the L.A. Times named John Gaunt happened to be on his patio when he heard a sound from the beach in California, Hermoso Beach. He heard someone holler out, "Something's happening on the beach." And so, being a photographer for the L.A. Times, his immediate response was to grab his camera and rush out to the sand. And the first thing he saw was a couple who were embracing on the beach. And he caught a shot of them and took a picture really quick, and then began to realize and learn what had happened. And in the picture, you can see all of the white caps, and you can see the very active water, even though it's a very still motion. And you can also see the look on the mother's face, as she had just realized that her 19-month-old toddler had been swept out to sea by the tide. It had come out, and he was walking along the beach, and it had taken him out. And after a few minutes, they couldn't find him anywhere. The very next day, he ran the photograph in the L.A. Times telling the story, and it grabbed the attention of Pulitzer Prize judges, who called it poignant and profoundly moving. You can see this picture on Ole Miss campus at the Overby Center. It's part of the Pulitzer Prize photo display. And to see it, it's called Tragedy by the Sea. It's one of the most disturbing images you'll ever look at, as many of the pictures are, that deal with the human condition of losing someone you love. Tragedy by the Sea. There are strong currents in our world, and these currents steal loved ones away every day. And maybe it's not physical like the sea, but they're just as powerful and literally grabbing and taking and stealing those we love. And maybe sometimes it's not the physical removal. Maybe they're still with us, but they're just a shadow of who they were. We see it all the time. Perhaps it's depression. Or maybe it's a disease like Alzheimer's that takes a personality and robs a person of it, to where they don't even have rational thought, and you cannot even interact the same with them. They are robbed of their personhood, their individuality, and where they belong in family and in society. But then there are also more subtle methods, where it's not so much a grabbing and stealing and pulling away. It's not so much physical like the ocean tide that draws something out into it. And it's not something like a disease that takes all it once, or even in phases, but it's a intentional redirection sometimes. It's a subtle method that people begin to somehow change who they are over time, and maybe even lose their identity. And in a redirection, there's this kind of snatching away, and we've seen people go from being one way to completely different, don't we? And there's a passage in our scripture that we read this morning, and it's verse 12, and talking about the seed that falls on the ground. there's that falls on the path, and the bird comes and steals it away, picks it up and carries it off. And when the disciples ask Jesus, what does this mean? He explains it by saying, these are the ones on the path, the seed on the path, are those who have heard. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, that there are those who actually seem to be stolen from us. And maybe the word is removed from their heart, but it sure seems like the person is removed from us. And perhaps it's the bird that comes and picks it up, like the seed here. Or maybe it's the wind that just blows the seed away, or the rain that washes it away. And there really is some sort of current that comes into our lives and seems to work against the Word of God taking root and planting into the soil of our hearts. There is the reality, and it seems like there is a strategy for evil to keep us from coming to life in Christ. We have resistance in our discipleship. We have resistance in our becoming who God calls us to be. We call this resistance evil because it is the opposite, the antithesis to that good which God created and intended for us. And while I'm not one who believes in what we call dualism, I don't believe that Satan and Jesus are equal and opposite figures who are fighting over our lives. I believe Jesus won. He's victorious. Satan does not have power or control over us. Jesus is the one with supreme authority and power. But there is resistance, and sometimes it's so strategic, it seems, that there's a plan to keep us from becoming who we are to become in Christ. We call that the enemy. We call that evil. And while we affirm the deity and the victory of Christ once and for all, it is possible to reject and to get on board the wrong ride, is to flow with the wrong current, to go with the wrong tide, that which tries to defeat and kill and rob us of who we are to become in Christ, to rob us of our identity, to rob us of our call, to rob us of our belonging, our identity in God. It's a redirection sometimes. Maybe it's all at once, sometimes like the little boy, but sometimes it's a redirection and it's slow and it happens over time. And it may be more like an erosion as opposed to a wave in the sea. It could be like a wearing down, this constant current that wears someone down to the point that values just kind of fade away. The Colorado River is as shallow as 6 feet in some places. That's about my height. It's as shallow as I am tall. It's as narrow as 175 feet across in some places, which would probably only be about as far as that wall to perhaps the other side of the highway. And yet, this small, in places, very small river has carved what we know as the Grand Canyon. It's over a mile deep in some places. That's 6,000 feet vertical at the deepest point, and 18 miles wide across at its widest point. Does erosion have power? Absolutely. And I think the most powerful tool of the enemy in keeping disciples from being fully devoted to their Lord Christ is to be subtle. The most powerful tool of the enemy is to be subtle. It is an undercurrent. It is the slight pressure that throws a person off and keeps a person. It's that constant resistance in the opposite direction of who we are called to become. I had a basketball coach in high school that actually, one of his strategies and techniques was that in order not to be called for a foul, keep your hands up like this, but when that shooter goes up, and if you're not close enough to get in his face and have your hand covering his eyes, or you're not close enough to block or bat the ball away, when he jumps, if he's doing a jump shot, just put your fingers, two fingers, just put two fingers right there along his waist and push him over a little bit. Because he said, you won't be called for a foul. You're not swinging, you're not hitting, but it's just enough to get him off balance and he won't be able to follow through on that shot like he wants to. I think that is the most powerful tool of the enemy. It's not that he comes swatting and trying to hit the ball away. It's that he throws us and keeps us from hitting our target. And if you remember, that's the Old Testament definition for sin. Is to miss the target. Is to be thrown from the bullseye. And the most powerful tool of the enemy is just to, while we're in the air, nudge and push. Get us off balance. There is resistance. Casting Crowns has a song that's very powerful. It's called Slow Fade. Have you heard this song? It's a song about the eroding of values and spirituality and devotion. That we have to be continually aware of the current that tries to sweep us away from Christ. And it's a slow fade. That's the one that's most hidden and most strategic. It's a slow fade. The words of the song go, it's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white turns to gray. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. It's the compromising of values. It's the irresponsibility with thought processes. It's the unleashing of a tongue and letting it just go. It's the participation and practice and that which compromises our discipline as people called to holiness and to practice godliness and right relationship. It's a snatching away, is like Jesus called it. In some of your versions, it says literally, the devil snatches away like a bird who comes and drops down, picks up the seed and flies away. It's this snatching away. It's drawing away the seed. The word is not able to take plant in our hearts. And we are removed. It's this current that just keeps drawing us away. Something as small, and Jesus says, something as small as a mustard seed can produce a great tree. If something that small can produce something that great, then it takes just a very small defeat. Just a very small seed that never takes root, that stifles the production of a great feat of faith. If it's only a small seed that God does amazing things with, then it's only a small seed that can be removed from us from ever producing the fruit God wants to bear in us. Jeff Krosno says, he's a pastor in the Northwest, we don't lose our lives over big decisions. It's the little ones that take our lives, like selling our birthright for a bowl of lentil stew. It's that little thing that I must indulge right here, right now. It's those little things. And as we go in life, being aware and protecting that word that takes root in our hearts, that the enemy is continually at work, stoking the embers of humanity's fallenness, keeping the current going against us. And if it's the small things that get snatched away to keep us from bearing fruit, then I do believe, though, that it's the small obediences that lead to great spiritual feats. Like Jesus said, the small obediences that become, and through perseverance and persistence, become the great feats of faith that God can do something with. In the summer of 1992, I went on a beach trip with some friends from college in St. Augustine, Florida. And there was a moment where I was paddling on one of those, well, we called them boogie boards. I didn't do much boogieing. I don't remember. They're about half the size of the pulpit, and you basically float on these things and paddle your feet. And I was out there for a while, and I decided I was ready to go back in because I seemed to be further away than I thought. And I started paddling. But I started going the opposite direction that I wanted to go in. And I was confused. I just kept going further and further away. I could see my friends on the beach. And I could see them once in a while looking for me out there and wondering, what's he doing? You know, why is he going so far away? And at one point, I even saw the lifeguard stand up in his stand and look at me and pick up his binoculars and kind of wave me in. And I'm thinking, you know, I would love to. So I start paddling, and there's that moment where you realize what's going on. I am being taken out into a very large sea. It was not the Gulf side, it's the Atlantic side. I'm being taken out. And what could possibly be under me, you know? And so all this time where I'm trying to kick and paddle and swim and get in, I'm just exhausting myself and I'm not going anywhere. And finally, probably it seemed like hours. I think it was only 30 minutes, but 30 minutes is a long time when you're fighting a resistant tide. Finally, I was able to work my way up to the front, and I trudged myself up the beach and just exhausted, dropped on the sand. And my friends sitting there eating sandwiches saying, "Hey, where you been?" You know. Thankfully, I kept my head, because there's that moment where I wanted to panic. That moment where I realized that the current is taking me the direction, the opposite direction that I need to go in. And there is a current that works against us and seeks to draw us. And I'll tell you, the current is strong. But I have good news, and that is that there is a stronger current in the world than the current taking us away from life. When we talk about Pentecost and we talk about the Holy Spirit coming, it uses words like the rushing wind that came. And when I hear a word like rushing, I think of an adjective for water even more than I do wind. That this is something, this current of the Spirit is rushing in and moving. And it just takes people in its wake. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. It's more powerful than the tide in the life. There is a tsunami of strength when we render ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are not on our own to overcome the current of depravity, the current of fallenness. That the Holy Spirit brings more power in us to bring us to life. You are not on your own. And what we are invited to do is to swim along with the current. Oh, that's such good news. It's so much easier to swim with the current than to swim against the current. But you can only do this when you're swimming with the current of the Spirit. And good luck if you're trying to swim against the Spirit of against the current of the world. Good luck. It's not going to be a happy ending. We'll call it tragedy by the sea. Swim with the current of the Holy Spirit. That is the stronger current. And we do this by practicing the small obediences. We participate and add energy to the things of God in the world. It is the rushing in of the kingdom of God. Ride it like a wave. Anybody, any surfers out there? Ride it like a wave. The current of the Holy Spirit. It gives hope. It's a hope that lends movement and flow in the right direction. And what happens when we're involved in this current of the Spirit? Have you ever been? I was with some friends when I was a kid, and one of my friends had a round swimming pool. And one of the things we'd like to do if we had a half a dozen or 10 of us in there swimming is we like to get going a whirlpool in this round swimming pool. And so we would all get to the perimeter of the pool and we'd start running or trying to run. We'd grab the side and we'd pull ourselves. And so at first it's really hard because the water's just kind of standing still. But as we began to move and all of us in cooperation together get it going, the water starts flowing in a circle. And so what we began to see is as we continue to move and flow, the water begins pushing us on our backs. And you get this flow and this current going. This is what the Holy Spirit invites us into. You're invited into the current of the Spirit. And that when you work in it, when you have these small obediences, you begin to notice that the power of the small obediences return to you and give you more power and strength to move forward again. That is the beauty of the current of the Holy Spirit. That you're developing a flow that creates more opportunity for obedience, more opportunity for life, and for growing into who we are called to be. This is good news for us because it means that in my future, by being obedient now, it puts me in prime position to be obedient tomorrow. It gives me more strength and power. But it also means this. If while in that round swimming pool, we were all going in a circle and some other kid decided to jump in, what does that kid experience when he jumps in the pool? He experiences all this water rushing and turning him in the same direction we're going in. that it's also an evangelistic thing. When you're obedient, when you're part of participating and adding energy to the flow of the Spirit, you are creating momentum for other people to experience the Spirit leading them into life. Do it for yourself and do it for those who need to know the flow of the Spirit. That is good news. And moving with the Spirit more and more allows us to be caught up in the Spirit, is a term we hear in the New Testament. So practice prayer. Meditate on God's Word. Search the heart of God. Do compassionate ministry. Serve other people. Deny yourself for the sake of practicing obedience. These all add momentum to the current of God. Be a giving person because God is moving. God is flowing through your life. God is drawing you. Let yourself drift into the currents of the Holy Spirit. Not taken by a tide to which we don't belong. Be taken by the tide of the current of the Spirit. This is good news. Amen.